name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today, as we gather on the Sunday closest to Remembrance Day, we pause in solemn reflection and we remember those who served, those who suffered, and those who gave their lives in times of war. In many ways, this solemn day unites us across generations, across towns and cities, as allies and enemies, as we recall the cost of war and the preciousness of peace. And this year, our remembrance carries even deepened significance, for today we mark the 80th anniversary of the end of the Second World War, a conflict that reshaped our world, our nation, and the very fabric of our communities. In Europe, the Allies celebrated Victory in Europe, or VE Day, on the 8th of May 1945. Nazi Germany surrendered, ending unimaginable suffering and the horrors of the Holocaust. Cities across Europe and England lay in ruins, and families were changed forever. In the Pacific Theatre, conflict continued until the 15th of August 1945. Victory in the Pacific Day, or VP Day, followed the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the Japanese surrender. For Australian servicemen and women, many whom had fought in the jungles of New Guinea, on the seas, or endured captivity as prisoners of war, the war's end brought both relief from misery and the awful sorrow for lost mates. Australia was deeply impacted by the Second World War. 993,000 Australians served, with over half seeing overseas service. This number includes both men and women, with 66,100 women enlisting across the armed forces. This means that one in seven Australians served in the military during that war. Service members fought in campaigns in Europe, the Mediterranean, North Africa, as well as against Japan in Southeast Asia and the Pacific. They fought alongside our allies, including New Zealanders, British and American forces, represented here today by their flags. 100,000 Australians returned injured, one in five. Sometimes the injuries could be seen. The echoes of their courage and sacrifice remain in our families, our memorials, our national consciousness. They remain too in our churches, especially this one, where our memorials, including the memorial book which is now laying on the altar, and the parishioners' war memorial out the front of the church, read like the parish roll and the Turek phone book, name after familiar name of mainly young people lost in the grind of war. Behind every name on a memorial or in a book, there is a life and a story. Stories of ordinary men and women thrust into extraordinary circumstances. Some who served had just left school, only 2 years older than some of the St. Catherine's girls with us this morning. They left their families and futures behind. Nurses, pilots, sailors, infantry, code breakers, those on the home front facing rationing and uncertainty, all played their part. Australia's experience of the Second World War is staggering, but terribly, the experience of other nations dwarfs our own. In total, the Second World War was the largest and deadliest armed conflict in the history of humanity. The most up-to-date estimates calculate that between 70 and 85 million people died. That equates to roughly 3 to 3.7% of Earth's entire population at the time. twice as many civilians died in World War II than did members of the military. Current estimates place military deaths between 21 and 25.5 million people. By comparison, civilian deaths include 29 to 31 million from military and war crimes, plus another 19 million to 28 million due to war-related famine and/or disease. During the conflict, China lost 20 million people, Russia 14 million, and Ukraine nearly 7 million in the space of 6 years. And I say this not to dwell on numbers, but to say that we do not mourn or remember alone. Far from it, allies and others alike. In the face of such unimaginable suffering and loss, it can be hard to see the face of God. Yet God is there, always there, with the soldier and the innocent alike, as God was there when Jesus was crucified. So in Romans 8, St. Paul reminds us, if God is for us, who is against us? This speaks of an unbreakable bond of love. Nothing in all creation, not even death itself, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, he writes. This assurance is especially poignant as we remember those who faced the horrors of war, who endured fear and loss, and who gave their lives for the sake of others. Their courage and their sacrifice echo the self-giving love that Christ showed for us. In John 14 that we just heard, Jesus speaks to his disciples in a moment of great uncertainty and in the light of his own impending death. Do not let your hearts be troubled, he says. Believe in God, believe also in me. And he promised that he goes to prepare a place for us, assuring us that we are never abandoned, even in the darkest of times. For those who grieve, for those who remember loved ones lost, these words offer us hope and comfort. Jesus promises that there is an eternal home with God, a place of peace and reunion, where every tear shall be wiped away. Together, I hope these passages remind us that the love and hope we find in Christ are stronger than any force of destruction or despair. As we remember the fallen, let us also remember the promise that nothing can separate us from God's love, and that Christ himself leads us to a place of eternal peace. And I pray that this assurance gives us strength to work for peace in our own time and to honour the memory of those who have gone before us. Their resilience, their mateship, their service remind us of the enduring human spirit. And through their service, their acts of bravery and their quiet endurance, they forged a legacy that shapes us still. On this day, we honour their sacrifice, not to glorify war, but to remember the depth of their commitment to freedom, to justice, and to peace. And it is thus unnerving to me that we remember the end of the Second World War at a time of critical global uncertainty and geopolitical instability. I've said this before in this pulpit, and I'm going to say it again. It seems as though we don't ever learn our lesson, and we continue as the human race to resolve difference and ambition by, in part, violence and war. Over the past week, I was appalled again at the situation in Sudan and the savagery and the utter disregard for the sanctity of human life in that place. Hot on those heels came the news of outrageous abuse of prisoners in Israel. The bombing the bombing of a children's hospital in Ukraine. The Second World War has indeed ended, but our bloodthirstiness, it would appear, has not. So let me remind us all that human flourishing and dignity is never expanded by violence or war. Never. And that each of us must play our part in being agents of peace in our world. And we do so in small part by remembering the dead today, the past, and we try and learn its lessons. We do so with dignity, with music, with prayer, with fellowship and community, in the hope that peace lodges in our hearts and provides us with a glimpse of life without the atrocity of war and the sacrifice so vaunted of so many. In each of our worlds, then, be they big or small, be you a student or a consul, a retiree or a teenager, a politician or a voter, all of us must be peacemakers who feed neither the flames of greed and aggression, nor stand by as bullies and the bellicose wreak havoc on the innocent and the free. My hope and prayer this day is for God's peace, for God's peace to descend upon every corner of our earth and to fill the minds and hearts of every person, such that all humanity shall be free and our hearts shall turn to war no more.